Our initial text today is Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 7. We will look at a number of different texts in this sermon today, but we will begin here in one of the places that we will consider in Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7. Let's give our attention now to God's holy word. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning as we turn to your word that you would incline our hearts to your statutes, or that you would take our hearts and shape them and mold them, bend them in the direction of your will and your word. Do this, Lord, so that we might obey you forever, that we might obey you always and to the very end of our lives. We pray you bless this study and help us to think, Lord, according to your truth in these times that we currently live in. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The author John Kelly, in a book entitled The Great Mortality, deals with the great medieval plague known as the Black Death, or as it was then called, the Great Mortality. At the beginning of the book, he writes, "In September of 1349, as the disease raced toward an anxious London, the English king, Edward III, declared that a just God now visits the sons of men and lashes the world." Later on, he writes of someone else who was commenting on the plague. "I am overwhelmed," wrote a contemporary in the sad, desperate voice that became the voice of Europe in the summer of 1348. "I can't go on. Everywhere one turns, there is death and bitterness. The hand of the Almighty strikes repeatedly to greater and greater effect. The terrible judgment gains in power as time goes by." Finally, later on in the book, he writes, "In plague, fear acts as a solvent on human relationships. It makes everyone an enemy and everyone an isolate. In plague, every man becomes an island, a small, haunted island of suspicion, fear, and despair." These words were spoken of the great plague of the Middle Ages, known as the Black Death. But in our current situation, as we think about COVID-19, it has a contemporary ring to it. We are all thinking about this disease at this time here in America and around the world. We are thinking about these things and things like this as we are quarantined and isolated from one another due to this disease, COVID-19. What we want to do today, as we should do in every situation, is to think through current circumstances in light of God's word. What would God have to say about a disease like COVID-19? We're going to study these things and think about these things for the next few weeks as we are isolated from one another and we are staying home from our normal church assembly and corporate gatherings to hear the word of God. It is our hope that we can return to that very soon. But in the interim, we don't want to fail to consider God's word and what it has to say about our present situation. We must remember that God is in control of disease and humble ourselves before him and look forward to better things in the future when Jesus Christ returns one day. We're going to look at three basic things in this study of our consideration of COVID-19 and our present circumstances. First, we're going to look at it through the metaphor of our viewpoint. We're going to begin with looking up. What should we do first when a disease like this strikes and people are tempted to worry and fear? We should look up. That is to say, we should think about God and our relationship with him. We should think about God, his character, his nature, and have that as our bedrock and our foundation in difficult times. Number two, we will also need to look within. We'll need to look at ourselves and how we are responding to a thing like this, and whether or not we are responding in the way that God would have us to respond. Then third, we will look ahead. We will look to the future. I firmly believe that things like this should cause us to look forward to heaven, should look forward to the new heavens and the new earth, that new world that Jesus will usher in when he returns one day. For today's study, we will begin with looking up. That is to say, we want to look to God. We begin our consideration of our current circumstances by looking up, beginning our reflections on this matter by starting with God. In any and all areas of life, this is the primary direction for us to look. Whether our circumstances are good or bad, we must ever remember to think about God in the midst of them. It is all too easy to forget Him or view things from a merely human viewpoint. But as believers, we are to think about the Lord in all of the circumstances of our lives, which includes our present dilemma. We ought to have the attitude of the psalmist. The psalmist says in Psalm 5, verse 3, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." That's what we want to do in this first portion of the study. As we think about COVID-19, we want to look up. We want to think about God. Now, one of the things that the Lord does in times of calamity and affliction and disease is get our attention. One of the reasons why God sends things like this is to force us to consider Him. It is to push us to think about Him. So many people live their lives quite happily without thinking about God at all. There are many who would even say that they believe in God, but in terms of how they actually live, they're practical atheists. God has very little to do with their lives and how they are conducted. So what does God do to get the attention of His fallen, disobedient creation? He often sends hardships to get the attention of the world, to get the attention of His people. He sends difficulties into our lives to get us to reconsider our ways, our relationship to Him, and to get us to think again about Him. Many times I think we could all look back on our lives and think about the hardships, the disappointments, the times of ill health and of trial, and think about how God used those things to do this very thing, to bring us back to thinking about Him, to looking up and considering Him and considering our relationship to Him. Many times the Lord uses these things. He uses these things and He has a purpose in these things to get our attention and get us thinking about Him again. And I do not believe that this situation is any different. May the Lord bless and use this trial, this disease, COVID-19, to get the attention of many people, to cause people to stop putting so much value on earthly things and put great value on heavenly things instead, to wean people from the things of this world and cause them to think about eternity. A disease will do that in the hands of God, cause you to think about what really matters, what is really important. And so right off the bat here, we can recognize that the Lord uses things like this to get our attention and cause us to think about Him. Once we look up to God in the midst of a difficult situation, whatever it may be, and in this case, a disease, but once we look up to God, once we start to consider God, what should we see? Who is God? What kind of a God are we presented with in Scripture? And how does that relate to this particular situation? In looking up, we are seeking to not only consider God in the abstract, but to specifically think about His character. Who is He? What is He like? And how does this knowledge affect our thinking about COVID-19? We now want to consider three important aspects of who God is and of how God works in the world. We want to think about His divine sovereignty. We want to think about His goodness. and we want to think about his providence. First, let us consider divine sovereignty. What do we mean by that word, sovereign? We mean that God is the absolute king and ruler of the universe. He is in complete control of all things. His will reigns supreme over our individual lives, the governance of the universe, the history of the world, and the happenings of the world. At a time like this, when a disease strikes, many people will turn to those who are, quote-unquote, in charge, and look to them for answers. They will turn to leaders in the government, the sciences, medicine, etc., in order to get answers and direction on what they should do, on how they should respond to the situation and get the help that they need. This, of course, has its proper place. We should listen to human authorities insofar as they give us the truth and guide us correctly. Yet we must also remember that presidents, governmental leaders, doctors, and scientists are not ultimate authorities. They are not really in control of a situation like this. So we must remind ourselves of who is in control. Who is in control of COVID-19? It's not the American government. It's not the scientists or the medical establishment. It is God Himself. He controls COVID-19. He is the ruler and controller of all things, the sovereign king of the universe. And we must learn to look to Him first and foremost. Yes, we can listen to politicians. Yes, we can listen to doctors and scientists, again, insofar as they tell us the truth and guide us correctly. But it is absolutely vital that we look to God first and foremost, as He is the one who is in charge of all these things. If we ask the question of COVID-19 and our response to it, who's in charge here? Our answer must be God. Now, one of the things that we as human beings don't like is we don't like a lack of control. We don't like feeling helpless. We human beings certainly do not like to feel helpless or that things are out of our control. How many of you like it when you feel that way? When you feel like you are not in control? None of us do. I remember being on a roller coaster at Six Flags in Charlotte and having that realization that I did not want to be there anymore. But I was not in control as the roller coaster took its twists and turns. And if I had been, I would have pulled the plug, stopped it, and gotten off the ride right at that very moment. But I wasn't in control. Someone else was in control, and it wasn't a great feeling. It wasn't a great feeling for you to be out of control or the situation to be out of control and you to feel helpless. None of us likes to feel that way. This is one of those circumstances where we may feel this way. We may feel that this situation is outside of our control, and it is in so many ways. But rather than letting this discourage us, we should turn this into a positive, Godward-directed thing. I would argue that circumstances in which you are made to feel helpless are actually sent by God. For what purpose? To cause us to rely on Him. To get you to see that you have never been in control, nor will you ever be in control. And that's actually a good thing for us. These situations in which we are brought are situations where we often feel helpless, and that ought to cause us to look to the one who can help us, to the one who is in control. It is a reminder of the truth that God is the one in control, and He wants us to look to Him as such, as the one who can help us. Furthermore, this truth that God is in control should be comforting to us. The truth of God's sovereignty should be a tremendous source of comfort to Christians. It is somewhat unfortunate that the phrase, God is in control, is a bit of a cliche today. There are many people who will say that, God is in control, and it gets repeated so often that it loses a bit of its luster. But it is actually good that this is a common thing to say and that many people say it because it is absolutely true. God is indeed in control. He always has been and He always will be. And even though it's a cliche, it's still absolute truth that should bring us great comfort. It is still true and wonderfully comforting once you understand that phrase in its biblical context. I can rest knowing that God is in charge of the world and of COVID-19. Who would you rather put in charge of this situation, us or God? Of course, we want God to be in control of it. And there is no one better than God, and no one better to be in charge than God himself. And glory be to his name, he is in charge, he is in control, and we can rest and find comfort in that. What does the Bible have to teach us about the sovereignty of God? Let us now turn to a number of biblical texts that will remind us of God's absolute control of all things, including this disease, COVID-19. In general, the Bible teaches us that the God of the universe is indeed a sovereign God, one who controls absolutely everything. From start to finish, the Bible proclaims that God is in absolute control of all things. Old King Nebuchadnezzar found this out the hard way when God humbled him in Daniel chapter 4. He says in Daniel 4:34-35, "And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" Nebuchadnezzar there expresses for us the absolute sovereignty of God, that God does what he wants in heaven and on the earth, and no one can challenge him on that. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul also teaches us that God's will is supreme in the world. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." How many things does God work after the counsel of his own will? All things. Absolutely everything works according to God's decree, God's desire, God's plan. Nothing is exempt from that. But God is coordinating, controlling, and working all things according to his own will. But now let us get more specific. Is God in control of everything or just some things? We might be tempted to rejoice in God's sovereignty over the good things of life, but reject his sovereignty over the quote-unquote bad things in life. But the Bible teaches us that God is in control of everything, the blessings as well as the calamities. To put it another way, God sends and controls calamities, tragedies, trials, and sufferings of various kinds. He not only sends the blessings, but also the cursings. He governs all things. He controls absolutely everything, which includes those things that we fear and run from. Let us now look at a few biblical texts that teach this important point that God is sovereign and in control of disaster, calamity, of those evil things like disease. In Amos chapter 3, the prophet asks a series of questions. One of those questions deals with this very issue. In Amos 3:6, he says, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it?" What is the answer to the prophet's question? The answer is meant to be a no. If there is evil, that is to say, calamity or disaster, in a place, it is because the Lord has done it. He is the one who brought it to pass. Next, in Isaiah 45, the Lord is asserting his sovereign control and providence in the life of Cyrus, king of Persia. In the midst of this, the Lord asserts his absolutely unique status as the one true God. "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me," Isaiah 45:5. The Lord then makes this somewhat startling statement in verse 7. "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The Lord here asserts his absolute sovereignty over everything, both good and bad. He is the one who creates peace and well-being for people. But he is also the one who makes evil. That is to say, he creates calamity, disaster, tragedy, and disease. Now, to be clear, disease and tragedies and terrible things are the legacy of the fall. God originally created the world good. He created mankind good. And if Adam and Eve had not fallen into sin, there would have been no disease. There would have been no evil. There would have been no calamities or tragedies. So, in one sense, all of these things trace back to the fall, to Adam and Eve's sin against God. But at the same time, the Lord now controls these things and directs these things according to his own will and his own good purpose. He's in charge and in control of the calamities and disasters. He is not the author of sin, but he is in charge of all the evil things in the world, and he controls them as he sees fit. Finally, one more text. In Jeremiah's book, Lamentations, we get yet another confirmation that God is sovereign over the bad as well as the good. Jeremiah is reflecting on the destruction of Jerusalem. He's fully aware that this was a sovereign act of God himself. The temple is destroyed. The city walls are broken down. People lie dead in the streets. Who did this? Who ultimately was in charge of this situation? Well, in a secondary sense, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians did it. But behind them was the sovereign hand of God. Jeremiah reminds us that God decrees both good and evil. Lamentations 3:38, out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good, Jeremiah asks. The answer to that question is that it is true. Both good and evil proceed from the mouth of God. God decrees and sends both. Again, to be clear, this does not mean that God is sinful or that God forces people to sin or that God tempts people to sin. We know from the book of James in the New Testament that God does not tempt any man to evil. God does not force men to sin, nor does he tempt and entice men to sin. The idea here is that God is the one who sends disaster, calamity, tragedy, hardships. That God is in control of these things, and he sends them according to his own purposes. Unfortunately, it is popular today to reject biblical truths like these. People will often say of some bad event, God did not do that. Even Christians have been taught to reject God's sovereign control over bad things. On the one hand, there is an element of this that is true. God is not the author of sin. He does not and cannot sin, nor does he lead men into sin. At the same time, this does not mean that he is idle or uninvolved in the calamities and disasters that occur in the world. We're not to think of God as merely watching what is going on like some divine spectator. No, when disaster strikes, we must remember that this comes from God just as much as the blessings. We are often happy to confess and believe in God's sovereignty when he sends blessings our way. But are we also happy to trust in God's sovereignty when he sends difficulties our way? Furthermore, let us think also about this question. What do we deserve? Do we deserve to live in a country that is blessed with material prosperity and physical health? Does God owe us these things? Are we to expect only good from the hand of God here in America? I think you know the answers to these questions already. We are a sinful people, a sinful nation. We deserve to be judged by God through disease and much worse. Let us therefore humble ourselves before this sovereign God who is in control of the good and the bad, the one who makes peace and creates evil. Finally, to be even more specific, does God control disease? Is he the one who sends it and causes it to fulfill his purposes in the world? What is the answer to that question? Yes. We are thinking at this time of COVID-19, this disease that is troubling the world at present. Did God send it? Is it in his almighty hands? Yes, it is. Let us now look at some passages of Scripture that teach us that God controls and sends disease according to his own good purpose. First, in the book of Exodus, you will remember that God sent 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. The sixth plague, for example, was a plague of boils. Who was it that sent this plague? It was the Lord himself. Exodus 9. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt." Who was in charge of that plague and of the other nine as well? Well, you know the answer to that. Of course, it was God himself. He sent it. It was directed, governed, controlled by him. The Lord is the one who did that. Second, in the book of Leviticus, God warns his people that disobedience will bring the curses of the covenant down upon them. If they turn away from him, they can expect many disasters to come upon them, one of which was disease. Leviticus 26:16. "I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart." Now notice the emphasis here. Who is it that will bring this upon the people of Israel if they live in disobedience? God will do it. The Lord emphasizes here in his language that he is the one who will bring these things upon a disobedient Israel. Next example, in 2 Samuel, as a judgment for his sins, the Lord promises to take the life of the child of David, the king, the fruit of his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 12:14. "Because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die." When the child actually does become sick, note who did it. 2 Samuel 12:15. "And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick." Why was the child sick? Why did sickness and disease come upon this child? It was the Lord who did it. The Lord struck the child based upon the sin of David. Finally, another example from the book of 2 Chronicles. In chapter 21, Elijah the prophet sends a letter to the wicked king Jehoram. The prophet announces that God is going to judge the evil king and his people with disease. 2 Chronicles 21:14. "Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all your possessions, and you will become very sick with the disease of your intestines until your intestines come out by reason of the sickness day by day." Quite a graphic description of God's judgment upon Jehoram and his people. But notice again, who is said to have done this thing? Who is it that strikes Jehoram and his people with disease? It is the Lord who does it. It is the Lord who is the author and controller of the disease that is going to come upon them as a form of judgment. We live in a modern time with modern technology, science, and medicine. Because of this, most people typically think in terms of technology, science, and medicine when things like COVID-19 occur. What do you hear people talking about as it relates to this disease? You hear them talking about viruses, germs, the science of how these things work, etc. But it is rare to hear someone give a spiritual, divine explanation for such things. The world today thinks in terms of natural causes, of material, earthly things, in explaining diseases like this, rather than spiritual realities and truths. Moreover, let someone say, God sent COVID-19, and you can just hear the howls of laughter, protest, and derision beginning. But this is how God's Word teaches us to think. We are not here denying secondary causes, or what might be called secondary causes. Are there such things as germs, viruses, etc.? Yes, of course. But to stop there is to forget the primary cause. And the primary cause of all things is God Himself, and that includes disease. As Christians, we must not be content with mere scientific explanations of things. That has its place, but it is not ultimate. Again, we must remember to look up and think about the Lord, even when disease strikes. Furthermore, you can see from these passages of Scripture that disease is a form of judgment from God. It is simply an inescapable conclusion from the Bible. God sends disease as judgment. To be clear, this does not mean that God is punishing any one given individual for some specific sin. If you get COVID-19, it is not necessarily because you have been harboring some secret sin. The godly also get diseases, and God has a benevolent purpose in that. But we must also not deny the aspect of judgment in this in general. Disease is the result of fallen man living in a fallen world under the judgment of God. In the midst of all this, it would be easy for some to conclude that God is not good. It is precisely things like COVID-19 and worse that cause some people to reason that the presence of evil in the world necessarily means that there either must not be a God, or that He must not be good, or that He must not have the power to stop things like this. We've considered God's sovereignty, that God is in control of all things, and now we need to think about God's goodness. Is God still good in this time in which COVID-19 is present in the world? As I said a moment ago, things like this often cause people to question the goodness of God. In the film Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Lex Luthor says to Superman in one of his monologues at the end of the film, "The problem of evil in the world, the problem of absolute virtue, I figured out way back. If God is all-powerful, He cannot be all-good. And if He is all-good, then He cannot be all-powerful." That sentiment expressed in a fictional film is a common one. It's a common thing for people to say, a common way of thinking. People see evil things happen in the world, and they go to the conclusion that God either A, must not be good, or B, if He is good, He doesn't have the power to control things like this or make them go away. But that is to lose sight of important truths about God that the Bible teaches. We've already established God's sovereignty, that God does indeed control and send the evil that occurs in the world. He is not the author of sin, but He does bring tragedies, disasters, and calamities according to His sovereign will and plan. But we must also now remember that God is good as well as sovereign. In general, the Bible tells us over and over again that the God of the Bible is a good God, that the one true God is a God abundant in goodness. Goodness takes its definition from God. How do we know what's good? We only know what's good by looking up, by looking to God, who is the source of all goodness. The psalmist declares in Psalm 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." The psalmist, again, calls upon us to taste God's goodness in Psalm 34:8. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." But what about calamity and disaster? What about when bad things happen? Is God still good, or has his goodness gone out the window? We are often tempted to think that God is not good when things are bad. We tend to listen to our circumstances rather than God's word. We tend to view God's character through the lens of our lives. If things are good, then we rejoice in God's goodness. If things are bad, we question and challenge his goodness. But we must remember that God does not change. In Malachi 3:6, the Lord says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Our circumstances change. Things change in the world. Just a couple of months ago, we had very little concern about COVID-19, and now there is great concern about the disease. But even though the concern level has changed, there is something in someone who has not changed, and that's God himself. If he was good yesterday when things were going well and we were healthy, then he is good today when things are not going well and we are no longer healthy. We must simply cling to his goodness when our circumstances would tell us lies about his character. If we turn to the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, it is Jeremiah the prophet's lament, mourning over the destruction of Jerusalem, one of the greatest tragedies in biblical history. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians had come and destroyed the temple, destroyed the city, killed many of the people, taken many of them captive. It was a time of great suffering and pain. And if you read the book of Lamentations, you will find Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, grieving over these disasters. But in the midst of this little book is a gem of faith and trust in God's goodness. It's found in Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 25. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." In the midst of disaster, Jeremiah confesses his faith in the Lord's mercy, faithfulness, and goodness. And this is what we need to do as well. In the midst of a time where people are worried about disease and may question the goodness of God or the existence of God, we must be those who confess that God is still there, and he is still good, and he's still in control of all these things. Finally, we must remember one other very important thing about God. Not only is he sovereign, not only is he good, but he also works in the world by his providence. Providence, in the words of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, is God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. It is God working in the world, governing and controlling things to accomplish his good will and his good purpose. In all that occurs, you find God at work, controlling things to bring to pass his good plan. For us as his people, a time of isolation and disease is not exempt from this providence of God. God is at work in the midst of COVID-19. We may not know all the specific details of what God is doing in this disease, but we do know that God is at work. We do know that he will use this for his glory and our good. He will cause this to serve the purpose of making us more like Christ, his Son. Do not forget the wonderful word of God found in Romans chapter 8. "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That text is true in times of good health, and it's also true in times of disease. COVID-19 is not outside the scope of Romans 8:28. God will work this together for the good of his people, for his own glory, in making them and shaping them into the image of his Son. Brothers and sisters, I hope that this helps you think scripturally and biblically about this disease. When you are tempted to worry, to fear, when you are tempted to think wrong thoughts about God, come back to his word and remind yourself of those things that are true about God, regardless of your circumstances. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these great truths that we have in the Bible. We do confess that you are sovereign, that you control all things, even calamity, even disease. We do confess that you are good, that regardless of our circumstances, which may change, that you do not change. You have always been and always will be good. Help us cling to that truth. We confess that your providence is real, that you are at work in the world, that you are at work in all the circumstances and details of the lives of your people. And this disease is not outside your good plan. We thank you for that. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to remember and believe these things. Help us to look up when things are hard, when disease strikes. Turn our attention to you. Turn our gaze toward you. Help us to look up with trust, with hope, and with confidence. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May grace be with you. Amen.